Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. It is Holy Trinity Sunday. We just had the season of Pentecost. And also, this is first time in many years we have a Camp Lutherwood Sunday. And so we have with us some of the staff at Camp Lutherwood, including Pastor Sarah. Gross Samuelson, who's here, is going to be our assistant minister today, and also will be leading the adult forum. It's actually all ages forum in between services, so look forward to that. Also, as a note, I think everyone knows Pastor Lori has begun her sabbatical, and people ask me how she's doing, and the answer is, if I don't know, then that's a good sign. So. And so we're so thrilled that she could get that needed R&R and refreshing. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship today with our confession. Invite all those who are able to stand. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We continue with the Kyrie.
Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts, minds, and ears to hear the Word of God.
The first reading is from Genesis, the first chapter, continuing into the second chapter, verse 4. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void. And darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day.
And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth,
And the waters that were gathered together God called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day.
And God said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for the signs and for the seasons and for the days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day.
And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of every kind. And it was so. And God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.
So God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God they were created, male and female they were created. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The second, much shorter reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord."
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Stop ending your sermons with exhortations. That's what my preaching professor told me, and actually told all of us who were in the class. And what it was talking about was the so-called classical sermon type, where you ended every sermon with an exhortation to the community to go do something simple and practical. It's an ethical charge of what you can do about this sermon in your life. So, for example, if the sermon was, for example, about God's love for the world and redeeming the world from sinfulness, all sinfulness with all people, then maybe the exhortation at the very end would be, "Therefore, you go out there and show God's love to those who you have a hard time finding lovable," or something like that. And exhortation like that has a benefit. It makes it very simple at the end of your sermon, what do you ought to do at this particular day? And generations of preachers were taught to do that. I've certainly done it. It has a lot of merit. But my teacher, in the textbook we were reading, disagreed. And they didn't disagree because they thought it was bad to exhort people to do something practical. Well, of course not. And she also didn't disagree because she thought that people wouldn't like it. On the contrary, she made it very clear, if you do that, people will love it. At the end of the service, when you come talk to us, anyone who talks to you about the sermon will almost always be about that little exhortation at the end. No, she was opposed to it for a different reason. We preach on these texts, complicated texts that have a lot going on. And in a 10 to 12 minute sermon, you're able to expound on it somewhat carefully, somewhat in depth, in a nuanced way. But if you predictably always end your sermon with a simple exhortation, it can actually end up being pretty distracting. In a 12-minute sermon, the exhortation is probably less than 30 seconds. And so if people know that this longer sermon is going to simply end into a simple ethical charge I'm going to use, then it's amazing how quickly and easily you can just tune out those first 11 and a half minutes. Again, this is what she said. I'm not saying that about anyone here. The reason I bring any of this up, though, is because we're here in the gospel lesson at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. These are the final words of Jesus in that gospel. And in it, there's something that looks an awful lot like an exhortation. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's called the Great Commission. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with it. Most of you probably even can quote it quite regularly from memory. But it's also at the end of a very complicated and intricate gospel, and it ends with a charge for us. What we're supposed to do. And it is a beautiful statement. But it looks somewhat like an exhortation at the end. And so I'd like us to do something that's going to be a little difficult. In this text that's so familiar, I'd like us to focus on something else. We can focus so much on that Great Commission that we can completely ignore everything else around it. So I'd like to invite us to look at the verse immediately before it as our focus for our reflection today. And that verse is, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And I think if we can get over the metaphorical gasp that you think I'm going to be talking about authority, I'll provide some relief. I'm actually going to talk about the heaven and earth part on that. It's talking about all of creation. All the work of God's hands. That's what's given to Jesus in this moment. And I want to focus on that today because that Great Commission text by itself can lead us so quickly into this reading is what you're supposed to do. Go out there, make those disciples. But the actual focus of the whole thing, and frankly the whole of the Gospel of Matthew, is not focusing on what you have to do, but what God's doing. Here, it's about Jesus. Who Jesus is, how Jesus works, and specifically, where Jesus works in our lives. Here, it's all tied to creation. All of heaven and earth. In our first reading today, lengthy reading today, we had this famous text from Genesis 1, speaking of texts most of us know very well, the first account of the creations of heaven and earth. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is being tied to that, God the Creator. And today is Holy Trinity Sunday, and talking about Jesus as God the Creator might cause a little bit of a pause for a few, because when we talk about Trinity, we often express, in fact, almost every Sunday, we express the threeness of the Trinity as Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. And if we use that language, then Jesus is identified with the Redeemer part, not the Creator part. But then here's where our understanding, our ability to understand the Trinity breaks down quite quickly. The nature of God is not actually three people sitting around a coffee table in a business meeting assigning roles. In addition to the threeness of God is the oneness of God. All of God is there creating. All of God is there redeeming. All of God is there sustaining. So we could talk about God's action in any of those aspects, and it's the wholeness of God. Today, our focus is on creation, on the way God is creating, The way Jesus is being deliberately identified and tied with the God who creates. That God who brings life. That's one of the major emphases in Genesis, in that creation narrative. This is the God who continually brings life. And of course, that's also the emphasis of Jesus saying, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." Remember, this is about life. This is a resurrection appearance of Jesus. This is Jesus having conquered the powers of sin and death and bringing life forward to the community. Jesus is God the Creator, God who is alive in you. And of course, as soon as we talk about God the Creator, we start talking about the creation itself. And of course, one of the biggest challenges for us is, I think, so frequently we talk about creation, we do a great job of talking about the natural world, and we talk about trees, and we talk about waters, and we can talk about climate change, and you have all these different aspects. But the thing we very frequently forget, we're also creation. Our very beings. As Martin Luther said in his exposition of the Apostles' Creed, that some of you learned very deeply in your small catechism in confirmation, if you still were in the group who memorized a lot. The first article of the creed is really the whole statement of faith. And it's only a few words. I'm a creature. Which implies, of course, God, you are the creator. I'm a human. You're God. For Luther and for the Bible, the focus of creation is always life. Creation is never static. Luther believed that the only way anything has life at all is because it's in an active relationship with God, whether that thing knows it or not. With God is life. Jesus is given authority of heaven and earth, the active God who creates, who brings life. And it's an active relationship with God that brings life. We are creatures who are changeable. We are corruptible. We live in a world that is not just all fine. We live amidst pain, fear, sin, death. Sometimes that looks like external forces that push us around, take our agency, our choices from us, that lead us to suffering, despair, anxiety. Sometimes it's internal. Sometimes it can appear as guilt or shame, or maybe most often, simply as doubt. Simple doubt that I could say I'm a creature and you are the creator. We so frequently doubt. But you might have noticed something at the opening of our gospel lesson. What happened to the disciples when they see Jesus before them? It says they worshiped, but some doubted. Notice it didn't say that some worshiped, but others couldn't pull off worshiping, and so they doubted instead. No, instead, and in fact you can translate it, that it's not even some and others, it's just one subject. The same ones who were worshiping were the ones who were doubting. They are creatures, not the Creator. So of course they're doubting. Of course we are doubting. They are creatures. God is Creator. That's what Jesus is affirming. The heavens and earth are given to me. I am God the Creator. With God the Creator, Luther emphasized something that I think is a good reminder for us. When we talk about God who creates, it's not a God who created a long time ago and then stopped creating. God's creating and recreating every day. Remember Luther's point. With God is life. Any life that is present is because of the persistence of God creating, recreating. That classic Trinitarian definition. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. The creation is always created. The creation is always redeemed. The creation is always sustained. All by God. And not one of those things have stopped. Jesus says, you humans who doubt while you worship, you humans who live in sin and death, you humans who frequently cannot express with your words that Jesus is Lord, you humans, I am with you always unto the end of the age. Not I will be with you whenever you happen to be able to authentically mean the words of the creed, whatever that means. No, anything God creates, including us, God sustains, God redeems. And so, I'd like to close this sermon today, against my professor's wishes, with an exhortation. The one we started with. When Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, he does mean it. He does charge us to go out into the world, to interact with the whole of creation around us, with all other humans and all other things. But as you do it, know that this is a message of God's act of creation, redemption, and God who sustains. God's the one acting. God's the one leading you. God's the one giving life and life abundant. God's the one who creates and recreates all of heaven and earth every day for you and for all around you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Invite all who are able to stand for our next hymn.
church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the prayers. Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need. Holy Three, Holy One, you call the church to make disciples of all nations. Encourage bishops, pastors, and deacons in their proclamation of the gospel and direct all the baptized into lives of humble service. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Three, Holy One, you spoke creation into being and called it good. Protect lands and waters threatened by human misuse and sustain living creatures of every kind. Wild animals, birds, fish, and every creeping thing. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Three, Holy One, you have given humankind authority over the earth. Raise up leaders who listen earnestly, speak honestly, and govern thoughtfully. Heal divisions between nations, that we might agree with one another and live in peace. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Three, Holy One, you set the earth on its axis, and we experience the seasons. Strengthen those enduring challenges this summer, those who suffer in the heat, parents overwhelmed by childcare responsibilities, and children experiencing food insecurity outside of school. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Holy Three, Holy One, you call us into new ventures and new spaces. Bless the staff, counselors, and campers at Camp Lutherwood this Sunday. May Camp Lutherwood be an enlivening space that brings your love into the world for all who interact with it in every capacity. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Three, Holy One, you promise to be with us always to the end of the age. Surround those most in need of your healing presence, any who are lonely, all who are grieving, and those who are sick. We especially remember this day Lou Berg, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Cindy Lane, Doug and Jody Martin, John Olson, Gretchen and Jeff Seamus, Gary Wolf, the family of David Joe. For whom else or what else do the people pray? For all these we've named out loud, those we hold in our hearts and those known only to you, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Three, Holy One, you give rest when our work is done. We give thanks for all the saints who now rest in you, confident in the promise of resurrection life in the age to come, as you comfort us who are alive in our grief. We ask especially that you abide with all those who love John Van Scholten, whose memorial service is later today. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share that peace, and as you do, turn to the camera and wave to those joining us for a vote.
Okay.
a few notes of our life together this week. First is to note that next Sunday, between services on June 11th, will be our semi-annual meeting. You see a note about that in the bulletin. That'll be both. We have some important work we need to do, and also you'll get an update on what happened with the in-gathering, what's happened with a lot of the different repair and maintenance projects. So really important to be there. So please plan to be there between services in the parish hall next Sunday. Second, you note also in your bulletin that the blood drive will be hosted here on June 15th. To donate, you do need to schedule an appointment. So you can see, either you can do it online or there's a phone number you could call, but look for that information. Also, as you heard in the prayers, John Van Scholten's memorial service is here in the sanctuary or via live stream 2 p.m. today. After service today, a few things. First is that ask that you join the staff of Camp Lutherwood, including Pastor Sarah, who's here today, to share stories of transformation and hope at Camp Lutherwood. And this is an all-age experience. Please join them in the library for that after service. Go grab a cup of coffee and then head over there. And then finally, as this is the first Sunday of the month, this is a Sunday where we offer an opportunity for individual prayer. If any of you would like individual prayer, please go to the chapel directly after the service, and one of our prayer ministers will meet you there. And with these announcements, we'll continue with our service. The offertory will invite you to, as you come up to for communion, to drop your offering into the plates. But we continue now with our offering response. Let us pray. God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. You have revealed your glory as the glory also of your Son and of the Holy Spirit
three persons equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, yet one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your everlasting glory. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, after the servers have received communion, we'll invite you to come forward through the center aisle, receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then intinct or dip it into the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. All are welcome at the Lord's table. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ that bids you come.
Jesus, the Lord, 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 Jesus, the L
And I'll invite you to go ahead and remain seated, even though the bulletin says to stand until the benediction. Receive the blessing after communion. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, generous God, for the refreshment we have received at your banquet table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now I'd like to invite a temple talk from Camp Lutherwood.
Anybody that has experience there. And then we'd like to invite you all to come join us brother makes a bean barbecue sandwich. I think they've announced officially barbecue as the menu for that night, and an ice cream social afterwards. We're having a couple of the local pastors participate in commissioning our staff, and we'd love to see all of you on site because camp is for everyone. Everyone needs rest. Everyone needs play. Everyone, including your Pastor Lori, needs a little bit of renewal. And we really see that as our vision and the space that we occupy at camp. So join us. I'll end with an imperative. Join us outside in the woods this summer. And thank you also for being continuing ministry partners in our past and our present and our future. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Pastor Sarah. And now at this time, I'd like to invite forward any of our Eucharistic ministers who are here. This is the first Sunday of the month, and Eucharistic ministers are lay people in the congregation who get a modest amount of training, and they bring communion to some of our homebound who are not able to be here. And it's a wonderful ministry. If any of you are interested in becoming a Eucharistic minister, or even just curious about it, please talk to me. Having consecrated the elements of bread and wine, we give thanks and praise to God for our Eucharistic ministers, and we ask God to guide them in their serving, so that our brothers and sisters in Christ who receive the gift of Holy Communion may also be strengthened for their journey and kept in God's grace. Let us pray. God of all life and all good, bless your servants and those whom they serve. Make your presence known in your holy supper, that all who share in this meal may be fed and nourished with the bread of life and drink from the cup of salvation. This we pray through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Invite all who are able to stand, receive the benediction. The God who calls across the cosmos and speaks in the smallest seed, bless, keep, and sustain you, now and to the end of the age. Amen.